Time now for the Kansas Wheat Report, and joining us is Glenn Ettinger, who is the author of Threshing Stones, and he is around the North Newton area. So, Mr. Ettinger, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here with you.
Okay, this book, Threshing Stones, it kind of what brings together, links together Mennonites, wheat, and these threshing stones. Tell us about it and why years ago you wrote the book.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Actually, my wife inherited a threshing stone. She grew up in Gosel. And a threshing stone, most people don't know, it's an esoteric group. But those that don't know, it's a stone used to thresh wheat back in the 1800s and in the Ukraine prior to coming to Kansas. It was rolled over the wheat to thresh the stone. I might explain that more later. She ended up with one, and it ended up in our house. And I kept asking the historical people that I know, which are a lot of people. Nobody seemed to know all the answers I had. So I just started researching it and a pile of the mass of information. And finally, somebody said, why don't you write a book? So I decided I could do that. I'm a designer, so I could lay it out and write it. I'm not a writer, but I've written two books at this point. And it turned out pretty good.
So then let's talk about, you know, the threshing stone. Did a farmer or farm family have several of them? Or is it a great big stone? Or tell a little bit about that.
Okay, yes, it's a big stone. It's a limestone, typically in Kansas, it's a limestone. It's about 24 inches in diameter and 30 inches long, with typically seven grooves in it that allow this stone to be pulled by horses around in a circle over the wheat to kind of thump out, just like a beater bar works on the old combines. This beat the grain out of the heads onto the threshing floor. And so, yeah, it's a big piece. Typically, it probably was shared by farmers. I really don't know. I read a lot of firsthand biographies to get an understanding of how they were used. But they actually were very rarely used in Kansas, even though there were well over or at least 100 made. But they were obsolete because the threshing machine already existed in Kansas. So they really became obsolete quick.
Well, I'm sure it was an awful lot of work as well. So I guess talk about that of why you said this was kind of brought over from Ukraine, and at the time was this maybe even a easier way or a more efficient way to harvest the grain?
Prior to the threshing stone, yes, it was an easier way for many centuries. Grain is the same, goes through the same process to be threshed. Obviously, you grow it, let it ripen, and when the grain is ready, the grain gets knocked out of the head easily. So you have to knock the grain out of the head somehow. It used to be in the ancient days, you'd beat it against a rock or a log. Then it was trotting with horses. You'd run horses or other animals over it to the hoofs to knock the grain out. And the flail was typically used, which is something like a bat with another bat on the end of it, and you beat the heads and knock the grain out. But the efficiency of the threshing stone was, I heard an estimate of maybe tenfold over the flail. So it was much more efficient. And, of course, the threshing machine surpassed that significantly, let alone a 50-foot header combine today that can thresh many bushels of wheat in seconds. So.
Well, Mr. Ettinger, we could probably talk for a long time about all the different things. Now, the one thing is the Threshing Stones has been out for a while, and we're not doing this to promote a lot of sales because you have sold a lot of books, but I understand there may be a few left, but if you have one of these, it's quite a link. But also, if folks maybe are curious what they can find some close there around Newton, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I printed 1,000. I only have 5 or 10 left at my house. But I know I just checked the other day in Coffin Museum in North Newton still has about 19 books. And there might be 1 or 2 or 3 at the downtown bookstore, Faith and Life Books. Maybe Gosel Museum might have some. They typically have some. But I'm just down to a handful out of all those I printed.
Well, sounds great. So, Well, Mr. Edgar, again, appreciate it. The book is called Threshing Stones. It talks about the link between Mennonite's wheat and these threshing stones. And so some folks maybe think they have a problem with some of the modern-day combines, but I would guess to run some of those stones to get the wheat harvest in would have been quite a chore. So, again, thank you so much for documenting part of history, especially right here in the heart of the Wheat Belt. So we appreciate your time.
That's great. Listen to the podcast. I explain in more detail.
That is right. Wheat's on your mind. Kansas Association of Wheat Growers has that. Aaron Harries and you had a good conversation. So thank you for reminding us to do that. So you can find that where podcasts are, where you listen to them. So again, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
You're welcome. Thanks.
That is Glenn Edgar, the author of Threshing Stones on this Kansas Wheat Report. I'm Ken Rogers.